Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on Cranberry.fm, episode number 284. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Local. Well, is your week going well, bud?
Oh, man, it's so busy. It's so hectic. We're in the midst of launching this new team. I've got everybody hired but one person, and we start our transition next week. So things are crazy here at work.
Well, you know, all it takes is just adding a zero or three, and I'll jump on board. You can keep trying, but I mean, really, I just need those zeros.
You got to relocate to Cleveland.
Well, with enough zeros.
that is if Canada doesn't get a put on the list of people that can't come into the country before too long.
No one would do that to Canadians. We're too nice, and we have too much oil.
We're self-sufficient there now.
Yeah, that's true. Unfortunately, that's true. Anywho, so I got a upgrade in my office here. I've got a standing desk, sit-stand desk.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. I'm sitting now, but I should probably start standing, actually. And just got the monitor arms, so everything's off the table. They can all be adjusted different heights, and it's slick. Love it. Have you got one of those at work?
I had a few. I've used them in the past, but I always tend to sit. Okay. I'm lazy. What can I say?
I just have to stand more. My back's not so good. So figure it's a step forward, a step forth, in fact.
Oh, geez.
Improving my back.
God.
It's very positive, you know, step forth. It's very positive. That's why we picked
all
it.
All right. Fine.
All right. Well, on that note, there's quite a bit in the news today, and thank you very much for putting most of the notes together. So I'll let you lead with it. Why don't we start with you?
Yeah, I guess over the past couple of weeks, if you haven't noticed, there's been some shifts in the rankings. There's been two different algorithmic updates that have been identified by a lot of those tools out there that track changes in rankings, and people use those to say, oh, look, there was an algorithm shift because bunches of ranks changed. There was one on February 1st, right around that time frame, that Google actually talked about and admitted it was really an update targeting spammy links, blog networks, link wheels, all that kind of stuff we're used to hearing. People are still doing it. People are still trying to get away with it. Google's still discovering them and is discovering the new tactics and techniques, and they're making the adjustments to remove those links, any kind of benefit people gain from those kind of links. So that happened on February 1st. And then a week later, there was all kinds of movement in these tools, but Google didn't announce any kind of update. There's a lot of changes. It was kind of one of those things that they undisclosed. It's not disclosed. We just saw a bunch of movement and assumed there was an update.
I love that the place where they saw most of the action was Black Hat World.
Yeah, of course. People complaining that what they're doing doesn't work. That'd be a good place to look.
But all the white hat areas are like, oh, I don't see any problem.
Wonder why.
PBNs. Oh, I still get people mentioning, well, why don't we create a PBN? Oh.
Just shoot. The fact that you use that will probably disqualify you from being one of my clients.
Yeah, if they ever say that.
You ask for one. Yeah. That or a link wheel.
Yeah, get both of those. And I don't disqualify them. I just have to do some sit-down re-education.
You're right. You just have to try to help them understand the real world and how it's supposed to work.
Yeah, otherwise they're going to go to one of those companies that do it, and they're going to be coming back to me later with no rankings.
But I can tell you, probably more often than not, if someone has that kind of mindset coming in, it's really almost impossible to change that mindset, to convince them that's not the way to go. Because they've been reading about it, they hear all this talk about it, and the next thing you know, that's the way it works, and they don't believe you if you tell them that's wrong, unfortunately. Yeah. They have to learn the hard way.
Yep. They've got to get past those alternative facts.
Exactly.
All right. So what's next?
What do we got? Oh, this was really interesting. So someone spotted a test that Google was doing. basically they're adding categories to search results. And the easiest way to think about this is if you go into image search right now and you search for something relatively broad, it will show you some boxes, a carousel across the top with different variations on that topic. So if you're searching for a logo or a meme and there's variations on that, and there's enough search volume around the different variations, they'll show you those and you can basically click through the category to drill down to that variation. Well, it's kind of similar to what this test is on organic search. The examples they used here were, actually, I want to click through to get, make sure I get the examples right. First one was they were searching for like kids clothing. And when it showed up, there was various types of clothes in this carousel across the tops. It was T-shirts, shoes, hoodies, socks, swimsuits, that kind of stuff. And as you drilled down, you search for shoes, it would actually, the carousel would stay there in this test, and it would switch to the shoes portion and just show you the results for the shoes. But you could click on any one of them across the board to drill down to that specific category. The article, the people that were actually, I couldn't get this test to reproduce. I tried to see if I could see it, but I couldn't. But the people that did it said, well, when this was going, there was an interesting concept, but the search results were really not that high of quality. And I'm not sure why they made that claim, but they just didn't like the search results. I hope that they kind of do this much more in the same type of methodology that they're using on image search. Because here, these examples they're showing, and it was at the SEM post is where this article is if you want to go look for it. And the title is Google Ads Category Filters to Some Search Queries. And it's just a test, so they're not it's not there completely. But this test is showing that the categories stay the same for all these top-level searches, and you just click through and it shows you different results. It doesn't show, like, if you search for kids clothing and it shows you T-shirts and shoes and hoodies, when you click that, it would drill down to kids clothing T-shirts. So you're seeing kids T-shirts or kids shoes or kids hoodies. And then if you switched it later to swimwear, the carousels would switch to things like men's or women's or bikinis and one pieces, drill you down in that category further, where that's how it works on the image search. That's not how it's working on this test on organic. It'll be really interesting to see where this goes, though. If they do something like that, that could change pretty significantly how we target longer tail terms and how we report on them too, actually.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting to see them. You're right. I guess I've gotten too jaded. I wonder what percentage of these we actually see get enacted Google-wide, like one?
Yeah, true. But this isn't interesting because there's a precedent, because they do this already in image search.
Yeah.
So they've got a lot of data around how well it works.
That's true. One thing I was mentioning earlier, I thought it was kind of funny, was the use of swimsuit for kids was this much older woman model. It's like, I don't think
that's... No, she wasn't older. She was maybe 20, 21.
Okay, well, she's still not a children. She's not a child.
Yeah.
And then it says, the breadcrumbs above says garments, children's television series, shoe. Huh. Okay. Well, anyway, I guess someone, you know, it's just like those celebrity shows. They like a shoe. They can look it up from a show. There you go. I had no idea. In any case, let's move on to WordPress updates. There's been a pretty significant one. Well, a few significant ones recently. The one being, I think the most recent one has been absolutely mandatory. Is because an exploit was discovered within WordPress that would pretty much open your entire website to being hacked, and it was extreme. In any case, most companies that monitor these for their clients have updated their client sites or at least informed them of it. However, Google just started sending out WordPress alerts to these owners, and it's causing a bit of havoc because we've had to deal with this, but because our clients have actually been updated in some cases, or in most cases when we're controlling them for sure. And as a result, the client goes, well, I thought you said you did it. Well, we did. Google's sending outdated reports. So they're not actually going off accurate information, and it's going to cause a bit of havoc. So if you see that, but you've already updated your site, don't stress. You know, if you want to verify, go for it. But it's likely just a mistake at Google's end.
And I think it's important to note that these notifications coming are in Google Search Console. So unless you have your Google Search Console configured to email you those notifications, you would actually have to go into Search Console to see these notices.
Yes, and I do recommend setting up that email because, frankly, it's difficult sometimes to get in there. And if you don't go and check it once in a while, it can get lost.
Yep, agreed. The email notifications are very, very handy.
Yeah. And until you get whatever 50 clients all go into the same email address, it's like, no. It's very obvious when Google's sending out broadcasts. I'll tell you that much.
Yes.
Another part here mentioned that I was reading about too is about 404 pages. Back in the day, they used to say that, and I think it is still good from a usability perspective, to have a 404 page. So that's when someone finds a broken URL, they get a 404. That's an error 404. And on that page, they're saying that if you have a menu on there that you've added specifically for SEO, well, don't even bother. Google is not looking at those and indexing them as anything that could have any effect on SEO. However,
they're not even crawling the content. They're just kind of ignoring what's on the page.
Yeah, there you go. But again, from a usability perspective, if you can give the average visitor who finds a broken link some very helpful links so they can go directly to a section you believe they might need to go to, go for it. I mean, it's just a smart thing to do. Otherwise, in many cases, if you haven't customized your 404 page, they're just going to see a white page with 404. I mean, that's a kiss of death. Yeah. They're going to go back. They're going to go somewhere else.
And I think what people used to do from an SEO standpoint, in case you hear this, is they used to use the 404 pages kind of like a page rank sculpting. You know, they would think, okay, a link is coming into this empty page. I want to capture that link juice and send it somewhere else on the site. That doesn't work. That's what we're talking about more than anything.
That's a lot of work for nothing.
Yep, absolutely.
There you go. Hopefully we haven't ruined your day. So you've got to listen to our show more.
Exactly.
All right. Well, you take the next one here.
So Google also,
you know what, before we do that, I'm sorry to cut you off. I shouldn't have done that. Let's take a quick break. Right. Otherwise, we're going to start running out of stuff here. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Cranberry Radio is your new destination for education, entertainment, and engagement. Get educated and entertained by our panel of on-air experts and peers, and engage with us anytime by following us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and LinkedIn, so you can reach us before and after every program, located on our new social shareable live streaming player. Access the new Cranberry Radio live stream player at our website, cranberry.fm.
Do you have cold, hard cash burning a hole in your pocket? Let Cranberry Radio lighten your load. Just hand us that burdensome dinero, and we'll get you set up with your very own radio show. We produce, edit, and amplify the show. All you have to do is show up. It's time for you to make an impact. We're glad to help. Just hand over the cash. Space is limited, so contact us now at sales@cranberry.fm.
Looking for a white label SEO and social platform for your clients? Think
eBrands.
Free and unlimited SEO audit reports.
eBrands.
Premium Facebook apps and welcome page creators.
eBrands.
Twitter management app, analytics, and mobile site generators.
eBrands.
Let eBrands manage your search and social media campaigns and give you and your clients access to their white label dashboard, which have great reports that will wow your clients and deliver great ROI and results. Try eBrands for 30 days. Go to eBrandsWithAZ.com or call 1-866-625-5717. That's eBrands with a Z for
eBrands.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on Cranberry.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Local, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. All right, fire away. Sorry about that, bud.
All right, no problem. So another thing tied to Google and Search Console and how they handle stuff. in Search Console, you can get a list of most of the links. They, it's never been complete, but most of the links that Google knows about pointing to your site. And there was a question recently that was answered either on Twitter or one of the Hangouts that they do about, you know, why doesn't Google tell us, you know, which links they count and which links they don't? And they're very clear. They said they will never tell us. They'll add links that are canonicalized. They'll add links that are no followed or followed. They'll add the links they don't count at all because they're spammy. They list everything they know about. And the reason they don't tell us is because that'll give the people that we were just talking about earlier, the people in that Black Hat forum, all the information they need to circumvent the process, right? So if Google tells us we don't count these links, a little bit of analysis will determine why, and they'll try to work around it. So they basically just give you everything they know and leave it to people like us to try to figure out which ones are good and which ones aren't. And, yeah. And it sounds like common sense, and it sounds like something we should know, but people are still asking those questions. So we want to make sure you guys, our listeners, understand that as well.
And in case you need it, that's yet another good piece of evidence that links are a critical component of their algorithms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. Yeah,
they don't want you to know much. what's new? Now, this part, I'm afraid, is yours as well. I don't know. I'm not up to date on this one about AMP pages.
So there's been, for anybody's using AMP, or if you're thinking about using AMP, one of the issues with it for a while now has been users have been complaining or grumbling about the fact that if they want to share one of these stories, the only URL they had access to was really the Google cache page URL. They couldn't share the URL to the site. Publishers were complaining about their URLs couldn't be shared. And Google heard that, and they listened. And they've actually changed the way the AMP is being displayed now to where there's a little link symbol at the top that if you click it, it will show you the canonical URL for that page. So you can actually cut and paste it or share that URL, however you're going to be sharing it.
Now, the one thing I should note, I did read this, pardon me, but was that beforehand, before they had that URL addition, if people linked to that page, it would still get redirected to the client site anyway, the Google. Yeah. Yeah, so yeah. It was working. Just people didn't want to rely on the site owners don't want to rely on that because, well, it's Google. Things change all the goddamn time. Yeah. So you don't want links like that sticking out there.
And Google actually has three different URLs for every one of those pages. They have the AMP URL, the Google /AMP URL. They have the pre-render URL. They have the cache URL. So there's been a lot of confusion about which URLs to use and share. This helps solve a lot of those questions. It's a good thing. I'm not sure they went far enough because it's kind of hard unless you know it's there and know how to use it. It's still kind of hard to find the right URL to share. Hopefully it'll catch on and people will learn to use it and understand how it works, but it's a step in the right direction.
Right. And well, Yext. This is something that you've dealt with a lot. I've done a little bit, but local, of course, being a critical component to Stepforce work and First Dentist, we deal with a lot of stuff. I've actually stayed away from Yext based on your advice. So
good.
I think, yes. So there you go. So you should lead with this again too, because this is a good one.
The reason this came up is because if you haven't heard, one of the industry veterans, Dwayne Forrester, he actually, when he first came to my attention, he was the Matt Cutts of Bing, right? He was working for Microsoft. He was the interface that the community had with the Bing search engine.
After Jeremiah.
Was he after him?
I think, well, yeah, definitely after him, but I don't know how much farther, but yeah, Jeremiah Andrick was great.
Yeah, and then he bounced around a couple of places. He ended up at Bruce Clay for a while, and he just recently left Bruce Clay and just announced in the past week that he's become the VP of Industry Insights at Yext. For those who don't know Yext is a local search company that really does a lot of work with small businesses to help them be found in local search. Now, for a small business, you'll get a phone call from Yext, and it sounds like a great deal. For those of us in the industry, and you know, I hope they're not an advertiser on the network, but they have a pretty bad reputation for a couple of reasons. Primarily, it can all be summed up that when you leave Yext, all the work they did from you reverts back to what it was before. So once you stop paying them, everything that happened goes away pretty much. So they kind of like hold you hostage to make sure you keep your local search and keep all the citations that you've built and all the corrections you've made. that's an issue. And I've actually had a conversation with Dwayne via email since he started there. Actually, it was on his very first day. I said, great way to start your day, huh? Your first day, but to ask him if he has any chance to do anything about these. So we've got a conversation going on, and I'll let you know if he updates me with anything. But I'm hoping that he's able to get in there and help them change that so they can change their reputation and do better for their clients long term.
Yeah, the only problem is Yext is making it's against their whole business model, which doesn't say much, but that is that if you stop paying them monthly or annually, you don't appear on their partner sites, which, you know, that's their model.
Yeah, so. I know. It'll be tough. And I told him I hope their bad reputation doesn't run off on Dwayne's, because Dwayne has a great reputation in the industry. He really does. And I hope he can make a difference there somehow. Maybe have another version of their products or something. But let's hope things change at Yext.
Yeah, that would be nice. It's certainly got a great cache of sites. I still submit to them because you can still get on them. I'm not sure if they actually own them or they're just relationships they have with them. Do you know that or not?
They have some they own. They also have direct relationships with a lot of the major sites. So like even things like Yelp, they have an API feed directly into Yelp. So if they're going to update your Yelp listing, great. They update it via the API. Mm-hmm. Well, when you're done, they cut you off the API and everything reverts back to the way it was at Yelp. So it's not a permanent update on Yelp. It's just continually fed by the API. That's the problem. A lot of these types of companies, and I've worked with a couple now, that when they make an update for you like that, it's permanent. It's changed. So you don't have to worry about the fact that, you know, when you leave this company, it's going to revert back to what it was. You do have to worry about that with Yelp. And that can cause big issues, because if you get a bunch of indexed information in there and then it disappears, now you've got duplicate listings. Because that other stuff that was indexed could stay indexed for a while, even though on the sites it's reverted back. Now you're going to have that indexed as well. You can have duplicate listings in local search, which we all know is a huge problem. I hate to bash Yext the way it is. I'm just trying to, you know, they probably do some good for people that they're working with. As long as you continue to pay them, they're going to be doing some good work for you to get you those local search results. It's just, I personally have an issue with the fact that they hold people hostage for that money and they don't do work that benefits a client long term.
Yeah, and I wish I could point to the article, but there was an article I'm 90% sure was focused on Yext, and it was someone actually took account of what happens when he left. So he took and he watched to see how long it would take for specific links to drop. And that was... it wasn't as bad as I thought, but it was still not good.
Yeah, I had a number of phone calls with Yext a couple of years ago, really trying to dig into this because I was looking to see if they could be a partner of ours. And I kept asking these questions, and they just could not give me satisfactory answers. There was issues with the domains they create for clients. I believe, though I don't remember, it's been such a long time ago, there was issues with the way they handle call tracking. There was a number of things I could not get past.
Good for Dwayne. I hope he does a good job, and it's good
that
they've got him there. That's at least a positive move.
So. Absolutely.
Now, another part of local search is when you do a search for a particular business, let's say, or you look at a business in the knowledge panel on the right, it'll show below it people also searched for and a bunch of the businesses that might be in the area that are competing businesses. Well, apparently, and I haven't seen this, I'm just reading this from the good old SEM post, Google's becoming more aggressive with these, and they're showing them more often. Now, had you read this as well?
I read a little bit of it. Educate me.
Okay, so what happened here is, I'm just verifying my words here before I say... is that they've changed the order in which this information is appearing. So you'll get, let's say, the example they have here. This is the most aggressive version. Right below the search for the company Humberview Group, it says people also searched for. Then the review summary appears. That's pretty odd. In most cases, it would go the company that you looked for, their review summary, and then people also searched. So I can't say I like that too much. The third option that's provided shows the same search, but then it gives a few examples of reviews and then people also searched for. So I don't know why exactly they would do this. I guess the point is that, well, obviously one of them's an ad. There you go.
Yeah.
I guess that pretty much sums it up. I don't think it would be a user experience thing. I mean, it's more money, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Sadly, well,
they've also, in many cases now, they've taken the 3-pack for local search when you do it, and it's basically now a 2-pack with an ad. They've just gotten rid of one of the search listings and added an ad in there. So they're doing that across the board in a lot of different areas.
Meh. Well, we are always humbled by those changes. We have to deal with them. There's nothing we can do. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. When we get back, we'll talk about some Eish news. And that's Gary Eish from Google, and some questions.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. Top SEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Looking for a better way to get more traffic and interaction to your Facebook page? Imagine Facebook interactivity on your page like you've never seen. Introducing your new Facebook marketing fix, ZoSocial, the new and revolutionary way to easily manage and automate your Facebook contests and sweepstakes. Create a fun, easy-to-win contest by writing a simple Facebook post. Watch your post go more viral and generate loads of interaction. Track your traffic and generate email lists with ease. ZoSocial is mobile-friendly and complies with Facebook terms of service. Let ZoSocial give your Facebook page some flash today. Zoom over to ZoSocial.com.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on Cranberry.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Local, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. All righty. Gary, what have you been up to?
So Gary had an interesting tweet the other day, and I think it just came out of nowhere. I'm not sure why he started, but it's a, did you know that HTTPS URLs in a duplicate cluster have higher chance of becoming canonical? And that itself is interesting, just the way they're handling the HTTPS duplication. And he's got a really good image added to his post. But there was some really good conversation in the comments, or the replies in that thread on Twitter that really intrigued me, because people asked some really good questions, like, you know, if it's a two-horse race, which one has the edge, HTTPS or the standard? And of course, you know, the HTTPS is answered correct. But then there was questions about, well, what if someone canonicals it accidentally from a HTTP to an HTTPS? And he very specifically says the canonical indicator is a heavier signal. So that's going to be a heavier signal than just the standard HTTPS versus HTTP. And then I think we're getting way beyond 101 here.
I was about to say.
It's really kind of interesting. There was another one, but what happens if you have it in a canonical and an XML sitemap? And it was a really interesting read. And he was very open about it too, a lot more so than we usually see when we're getting this technical and how Google does things. And he was actually to the point where he's, well, here's a tweet he said, and you'll have to read the whole thing to understand it, but he was basically to the point where he said, basically, you have 1.42 points from a sitemap, and the HTTP version has 4.2, but if you just rely on the HTTPS, it's 5.42, and boom. So if you add up the first two, it's less than the HTTPS, basically, is what he's saying. But he's getting to the point where he has numbers tied to each of these individual things, which we usually don't see. When Googlers are talking about this stuff.
Sure, but I think I'm going to officially blame you for losing half our listeners.
Well, yeah, but now they're on Twitter, and they went to their own personal profile. They lost us anyway as soon as we mentioned Twitter.
It is interesting.
They went to go see
very
what,
interesting.
What Trump was saying today.
Bro, I don't want to go there. Oh, dear. Okay. Well, it is interesting.
And so I apologize if it was too weighty for you. I apologize, but it's really – this is the kind of stuff that I love to read and I love to dig into to understand a little bit more about what they're doing with our sites and how they're measuring them.
Yeah, well, it just goes to show that the HTTPS is a serious contender and it's getting that much more weight on a regular basis. So that's a good thing. And it's a good segue, too. One of the questions we have from our good old Mark Taylor was... is it time to move e-commerce sites to HTTPS, regardless of whether it's logical from an SSL perspective? Given the Chrome 56 warnings in Google Search Console, or Google Webmaster Tools, for all those of us that care, is Google going to penalize non-HTTPS sites soon? So to just give our perhaps new listeners a bit of a recap here. So first of all, HTTPS means a secure connection to a website. Google is recommending this strongly to all websites to upgrade. They want everyone to. Technically, it's only really necessary for anyone who has a form on a page. And that's why Google has started to actually, it should be stop happening any day, right? I think it's this month.
Yeah, I think so.
They're going to start placing a bit of a red flag in the URL bar, address bar of your browser, if you go to a form that isn't secured with HTTPS. That's just one of their steps forward to pushing everyone into making that switch.
Well, did they switch it to just a little flag? Because when they first announced it, there was going to be a modal pop-up covering the whole page, basically, that you had to dismiss before you could go on.
Yeah, as far as I know, that's not the case. It's just a flag.
Yeah, that was a good move to change that because that was freaking people out.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, if there's money being involved and they have that, then that should happen, as far as I'm concerned. But yeah.
But even a form, if you think about it, if you have like a subscription to your email newsletter on your blog and you have it over in the footer or over in the, like one of the navigation at the bottom or something, just add your emails here to join our newsletter and hit the button. That's a form. Even if it's one box and a button to join them, that's a form that could generate this type of indicator on your page.
Yeah. So John Mueller did reply. So thanks, Mark, for posting this question. He did cite John to try and get him to answer. And he says, I'd absolutely recommend e-commerce sites be fully on HTTPS. If people post credit card numbers or log in, that should only be done on HTTPS. Both Chrome and Firefox flag it in the meantime. I wouldn't care what search does. Getting traffic that doesn't convert is just as bad as not getting it at all.
It's interesting that he said at the very beginning of there that sites should fully be on HTTPS and then went to talk about specific pages that collect credit card information and login data. And Mark's follow-up question was, you know, he said the checkout pages and all that are HTTPS, but the product pages themselves are still HTTP, and he's asking for recommendations if that should be changed. And that's kind of my question still, too. I'm not sure if I'm ready to do that for all of my clients. You know, absolutely, any page that collects any of that kind of information should always be secure. But it's a lot of work and can cause some issues if you try to do your entire site, especially if it's a large e-commerce style site that may have tens of thousands of pages. What's your thought, Ross? I know that you're doing it for all your clients, but and I'm curious why you made that switch already.
Well, we're making the switch. We want to get all our ducks in a row before we start pitching it hard, but I do believe, and I think I said in the last episode, that this is the year of HTTPS. I think everyone's going to be, a lot of people are going to be making the switch, and we want to just get ahead of that game. And the reason why is the fact is that it is being pushed by Google. It's the kind of thing that's going to have some impact. It really should be done for anything with forms, and frankly, most sites have forms, and it's a bit of a pain in the arse to do, but why not get ahead of it?
So you're saying basically because Google tells you to.
Because Google told us to.
Just like they told us to do authorship.
Yeah, well, this one they're a little more committed to because I think, you know, security is another thing entirely with them.
Yeah, I'm still debating on whether it's something we should add into our programs as a requirement. I definitely put it in when it makes sense for a client. And, you know, if a client's redesigning a website and they're already in that process of rebuilding everything, that's a perfect time. Well, go ahead and make your switch to HTTPS. Yes, do it. Is if a client comes to us and they've got a perfectly functional site, it's working well, they're not doing e-commerce, so they're not taking credit card information, and no one has to sign in, and they just want help with SEO, is that the kind of, do I want to recommend HTTPS to them now? That's where I'm having my issue. I'm not sure if it's a time for them yet or not, and I'm still working through that.
Well, it's a good question. I wouldn't make it a requirement. I definitely wouldn't use that strong a word. I do think that, you know, there is a time where it will happen. I mean, there's always the freedom of choice. If a client doesn't want to go that route, well, they're going to have to suffer a bit, potentially in the future, at least. We also, when that happens, have to make it clear to the client that, okay, well, you're potentially handicapping some of the abilities for us to get you visibility. And you should know that. It sucks to have that because we don't need anything making life any more difficult to try and get visibility.
See, I always put myself in the consumer's position as an educated consumer, right? So if I ever get out of this business and I go start a bar somewhere, right? And I want a bar because I want live music playing on the weekends or something like that. And somebody comes to me and wants to do my SEO and I don't have the time to do it. So I said, like, sure, you know, you do it for me and because I don't have the time or resources to do it. And they came to me and they said, you know, hey, we want to switch your site to HTTPS. My first question would be why? And if they said, well, because it impacts your rankings or because, Google says we need to do it, I'm like, well, if it's impacting my rankings, fine. You know, let's talk about it. But if it's just because Google said so, I'm not ready yet. You know, you need more to convince me that this is what we need to do.
But remember, it's not just that. It's Chrome, which is a pretty fundamental platform.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to start giving warnings, and that's not good for business.
If they're going to give warnings for sites that have a form or collect, you know, basically the forms. If I don't have forms on my site, do I have to worry about it?
Yeah, they're right. And that's those cages. Those are not going to be our first ones we're going to choose to push this on. We're going to say to other clients.
Then it's only the page that has the form, right? So if I have a contact us page at the back end of the site that has a web email form, that page might get that, but none of the rest of the site does. So I don't want my contact page ranking in search anyway, so I don't care if it affects the rankings of my contact page, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot to take into consideration.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. I think for the smaller businesses, the transition is not going to be quite as painful, and it's something that could just be done all at once versus spending the money to have just a page done. You still have to get this SSL certificate. You still have to get all the stuff that costs the money. Why not go the whole way?
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I think it's critical, and it's going to get to the point before too long where I'm going to say every site that comes to us, one of our deliverables is going to be, let's get this site moved to HTTPS. I just don't know if that time is yet. It might be later this year. It might be the beginning of next year.
Fair enough. Well, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Local, thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Google Plus community page, easily found by searching SEO 101 on Google. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, every Thursday on cranberry.fm.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and their guests and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of Cranberry News Marketing and Cranberry.fm. Rebroadcasts or retransmission of this content without proper consent is prohibited.